to the teaching of your Spirit. Father, instruct us, lead us, and show us the way. Above all, Lord, may we find peace with you today in Jesus' name. And as a result, we'll find peace in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, we are looking at the peace offering. I must say, you are welcome. You are welcome to the presence of God this morning. It's the Sunday school. Okay, before the service. It's part of the service. And it's Sunday school. This is where we start. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you want to eat, they give you an appetizer. So we are taking an appetizer this morning. And we are looking at the peace offering. That's our appetizer this morning. Because one of the greatest find we can have in life is to find peace. It does not matter what you have in your life. If you don't have peace, that thing becomes useless to you. It becomes nothing to you. But when you find the peace of God, it surpasses everything you can get. And there's a kind of peace that only God can give to man. And that's what we're going to look at today. Remember that we've been talking about some of the events, some of the things or instruction that God has given in the Old Testament. And we told us that those who are giving us examples of things to come, of this dispensation, so we can always learn a lot from some of the instruction that God gave to Moses or gave to the men of old. So let's see some of the things we'll be able to learn. When you look at your bulletin, just look at the back of your bulletin. That's where the Sunday school is. And our memory verse for this morning is taken from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Can we go together? Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we go over again? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we go one more time? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have peace with God, you've got everything. And it is only faith in Jesus Christ that can ensure that peace. And I'm telling you, that if you are at peace with God, in fact, people who don't want to be at peace with you will be at peace with you whether they like it or not. No, it's true. Because God will position you in a way that they will have no option. And the Bible is full of examples of people that the world had written off. People that the world saw as nobodies, people that the world saw as unimportant. And when they meet God, something happens in their life. In fact, they then become people that the world run to for peace. They run to them for miracles. They run to them for the power of God. That is what happens in the life of somebody who has found peace with God. And that will happen in your life today in Jesus' name. Let's quickly read Leviticus chapter 3. I need a very, very fast reader. Leviticus chapter 3, 1 to 17. And then somebody else to read Leviticus 7, 11 to 38. Or do you want me to read by myself? Yes.
blood. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inward and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, which is by the flax and the caul above the liver. With the kidneys it shall take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt offering, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of flock, made male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. 7. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hands upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's sons shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of peace offering an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat thereof, and the whole rump, it shall he take off, had by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we should just leave that one there. We've read this passage before. I just want us to see some of the things that God said they are to sacrifice. Holy, by fire. Everything to be consumed by the fire of that sacrifice. Let's go to Leviticus 7, so we can have some time to discuss. 7, verse 11 to 38.
Offer unto the Lord. If he offered it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving on living cakes mingled with oil, and on living wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cake, he shall offer for his offering living bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblations for an heaven offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood of the peace offering. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth a sacrifice, and on the morning also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear its iniquity.
Okay.
And the flesh.
Go on.
And the flesh that touch any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we have just taken a look at the sacrifice of the peace offering. When we look at it, we see some of the things we've talked about before. The fact that it has to be a whole sacrifice, offered by fire completely. It has to be without blemish. But God was repeating something in the passage we are reading here concerning the peace offering. The fact that the one who is to partake of the peace offering, the priest who will eat out of the peace offering, has to be what? Clean. And it says that the priest that shall partake of the peace offering and is not clean, the soul of that of that priest, of that individual, will bear the iniquity. Let's look at how it applies to us these days. Do we have peace offerings? Do we have peace offerings? I think we do. Jesus Christ, He's our peace offering. He has done everything. He's laid down His life, and He has become our peace offering, so that we don't have to go through this routine again. But what is instructive for us here is that the priests who will partake of the peace offering themselves have to be clean. And the Bible also tells us that after we have known Jesus, after we have known the Word, if we go back to our old ways, if we go back to doing the things we used to do, the Bible said we are crucifying Him again. Just in the same vein, the Bible says, can we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does the Bible say? It said, God forbid. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. In other words, everyone that God has called to be His priest, everyone that God has called to serve before Him, and you are the call of God. Like Jesus told His disciples, He said, as my Father has sent me, so sent I ye. So I send you the way my Father has sent me. So God is sending you at this time. God is sending me at this time. And everyone who will be priest before Him has to live a life that is exemplary, has to live a life that is in accord with Him. Remember that the sacrifice for us has been made once. Unlike in the past, that, you know, you can just go and sin, then you come back again, make sacrifice, and then you do it, you know, year in, year out, and your position does not change. You remain the same. But we have a sacrifice, a permanent sacrifice that has been made once and for all. And so when we come into the grace of God, we begin to do things that we were not able to do before. And that is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He gives us that grace not to live from sin to sin, but to live from grace to grace. Christ is our peace offering. Christ is our peace offering. If not for Christ, let me tell you, you and I will not be able to stand before God. Because the Bible tells us in Isaiah, He said, the best of the work of our hands is like what? It's like a filthy rag before God. It's like a filthy rag. It's better than the rag that you use to clean your floor. The best effort of man. That is how good it is. Better than the rag you use to clean your floor. But once Jesus comes and reconciles us back to God, and He became a propitiation for our sins, He is our peace offering. And that is why you and I can come and stand in His presence this morning and lift up our hands before Him and say, praise the Lord. And say, praise the Lord. And say, let me tell you something. The way some of us live our lives, if it were to be in the past, before Jesus came, if we lifted up our hands and we say, praise the Lord, God would just strike us there and then. Because we are just not worthy to stand before Him. Jesus makes us worthy. And the only way we can repay Him is to live a life that befits Him. Is to live a life that does what? That befits God. So that people will know that indeed we have been reconciled to God. What happens when you are reconciled to a friend? Maybe you had a friend and you had a quarrel. And somebody come and brought both of you together. And you talk about what has happened and you sort the situation out. What happens? People begin to see you together. People begin to see you exchange pleasantries. People begin to see you laugh together. In other words, if you have been reconciled to God, what will be happening? You'll be praying to God. You'll be reading His word. You'll be obeying Him. People will see you in company of Jesus. People will see you in places where God is being glorified. Jesus, our peace offering. I will just read a bit from here. And it says, while the sin offering taught the need for and symbolized propitiation or atonement, the burnt offering represented the absolute yieldedness of man's will to God's, while the meat offering, through its homage, declared the loyal submission of the offerer. The priest offering symbolizes the festive joy which pervades the souls of those who have come into union or communion with God. You come into what? Union with Him. You come into communion with Him. So He becomes your friend. He becomes, you know, people see you with Him. People see you. How do people see you with Jesus? The way they see you with Jesus is the way you conduct yourself. When somebody asks for an opinion, you give an opinion that Jesus would have given. You give an opinion that is in line with the Bible. You let them know, look, this is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus taught us to do. And so people know that you are walking with Jesus. People know that He's your companion. They know that the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. But when you give, do you know sometimes as children of God, we express some opinions, and when people hear us, and they actually say, and this guy says he's born again. Is he really born again? Because of the kind of opinion we express. Because they are not opinions that will be expressed by friends of Jesus. They are not opinions expressed by people who have had a peace offering offered to God once and for all. God will begin to change our opinion today in Jesus' name. I read an article over the weekend. The article is on, it's actually about politics in America, really. It talks about, it asks a question, can a liberal or a progressive be born again? Somebody who says he's liberal or he's a progressive, can such a person be born again? Can the person be seen as born again? And the person who wrote the article actually took a look at some of the things, some of the views that a liberal will hold. Views on abortion, views on homosexuality, views on, you know, individualism and the unwillingness to want to help other people. And he took he looked at many of these views. And it says that when you really look at it, it's not compatible with what we believe. You know why? Because the Bible says, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Is settled in heaven. In other words, the word of God does not change. The word he spoke 2,000 years ago, they remain true today. Our views may change about things, but the word of God does not change. God's views has not changed about the world. God's views about your situation has not changed. If God says it is not his desire that his children be sick, if God says it is not his desire that the enemy plunder his children, the view of God has not changed. God still wants to prosper you, like he said 2,000 years ago. If God says that he's not a friend of sin, he has not, because of you, changed his views. He's still not a friend of sin. That is God's position. He has not changed. Somebody needs to change. Who needs to change? Who needs to change? It is me who needs to change. It is you who needs to change. because God cannot change. How do I know that? He said, for I am God, I change not. Oh, yeah, that's what the Bible says. He said, for I am God, I change not. Therefore, the one that needs to change is you. The one that needs to change is me. So as we hear the word of God this morning, we need to align ourselves with his word. We need to change to fit in with his word. But a lot of people tend to tell us or preach to us that God has changed or he has lowered his standard. Or maybe they think God said, oh, I made a mistake when I wrote the Bible. Therefore, because, you see, I did not think the 21st century would come. I did not think that men would be able to go to the moon. I did not think that men would be so wise. Therefore, now that they are so wise, I've changed my mind. That is not the God we serve. His views are still the same as they were 2,000 years ago, even before the creation of the earth. The peace offering had three forms, namely thanks offering, voluntary offering, and offering upon the payment of vows. In particular, it was the most joyous of all the sacrifices as it was a representation of the blessedness and joyfulness of communion between God and man, a picture of the believers enjoying the benefit of Christ's sacrificial death. What can we liken this to? This joyous moment, this joyous communion with God. It can be likened to having the Holy Spirit inside of us. When you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, then you have the joy of the Lord inside of you. And as we know, when you have the joy of the Lord inside of you, nothing can stop you. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have the ability to do. You have the ability to achieve. You have the ability to break through. You have the ability to overcome. Because you have the joy of the Lord inside of you. Because you are at peace with God. And the one who can be at peace with God is the one who has the Spirit of God inside of him. Last week we were told by the preacher, what did he say? He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God, not the children of God. He said, they are the sons of God. He said, sons are mature people. People who yield themselves, who obey. They are the one who have the peace of God. And I tell you, every other peace is false peace. The peace that does not come from obedience to God is false peace. When you know that you are disobeying God and you say you have peace, then check yourself. It simply means you haven't got the Spirit of God inside of you. What do I mean? When we know what the Bible says and we choose to do something different, somebody points it out to us, say, brother, you know, the word of God actually says this and so on. So you say, look, oh, I know that's what the Bible says, but you know what? I believe the Spirit of God permits me. I have peace. That is false peace. It's peace that comes out of a dead conscience. Peace that comes out of what? Dead conscience. People whose conscience, who have their conscience seared with hot iron, like the Bible said, they are the ones who have peace in the face of disobedience to God. And they will tell you, I have peace. Meanwhile, what they are doing is actually against the word of God. And you point it out, they say, look, I have peace. It means God approves of it. God does not approve of it. God will never break his word. God, because he says what? He said he honors his word more than his names. Not his name. His names. In other words, God is a man of his word. When he promises you something, be sure that he means what he says. So when he says something, be sure that he means what he says. So he will not go back and say, look, oh, I regret that I've said this. I want to change it. I want to rewrite the Bible. No. He has given his final verdict. And before he sent his word to men, or before he inspired men to write his word, he had already thought about you. He thought about me. He thought about year 2009. He thought about 100 years to come, 500 years to come, 1 million years to come. He had it in mind when he wrote this. Are you at peace with God? Or do you have true peace with him? Or is it false peace? You will have true peace with him in Jesus' name. When you have peace with him, God starts to use you. He starts to manifest himself in your life. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit cannot be hidden. He manifests wherever he goes. You can't contain. Can somebody, the Bible said, or says, can somebody hold fire under his bosom? Have you ever seen somebody light fire and you keep it in your chest and you hold it? You can't. Because the Holy Spirit is the fire of God. You can't keep it. It will manifest somewhere. It will manifest somehow. It will manifest in your situation. It will manifest in your circumstance. It will manifest when you meet people. It will manifest, you know, in your utterances. It will manifest where you work. It will manifest in your home. It will manifest in the things you do. You can't keep the Holy Spirit quiet like that. It has to show when he dwells within you. And only those who are at peace with God through obedience to him will have the presence of the Holy Spirit that dwells with them. He will dwell with you in Jesus' name. Let me quickly read this through as we come to the end of the Sunday school. He said, the remaining part of the peace offering belonged to the offerer. He will prepare it and call his family and friends to eat with him in the tabernacle court. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 to 12. That's where God gave the instruction. The implication for us is this. When we are at peace with God, it is something to be shared with our families. It is something to be shared with people who come in contact with us. In fact, it should be our desire that anyone who knows us knows the peace of God in their lives. Do you share God's peace with people? Do you still evangelize? Do you still talk to people about Christ? Share the peace of Christ. He wants to have people reconciled to himself. It starts from our homes. That's why the one who offered the peace offering will first of all call his family, you know, and share with them the remnant of the peace offering. And God wants us as parents to start sharing with our children the peace of Jesus Christ. And then the people will meet. If the peace offering was a thanks offering, it was accompanied with meat offerings of unleavened cakes with oil, wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil, and leavened bread. The whole offering must be consumed on the very day it was offered. There should be no leftover. But if the peace offering was a free will offering, the offerer had liberty to leave some of it till the following, but not the third day. Again, we talked about the role of the oil last week. Was it the week before? And we talked about the role of salt. So, even if we are going to consume it, even if they were going to consume it, God wanted it to be intact, not the things that have gone bad. Not the things that were stale. God wanted the things that will be sacrificed to him preserved. Just like he wants our lives preserved to him. The peace offering was a sacrifice which an offerer brought to the Lord for the purpose of expressing fellowship with him. For a vow to back up petition. And that's the last thing I want to talk about. That is the vow. And I mentioned it briefly the other time. I don't know how many of us are still in that attitude of making vows before the Lord. Our vow does not necessarily have to be substance. Our vow may be praising him. To say, Lord, If you do this for me, I will come out, I will give a testimony. If you do this for me, I will set aside a day to praise you. If you do this for me, this is what I'm going to do. If you do this for me, this is what I'm going to do. It doesn't have to be substance. It's an opportunity for us to get closer to him. It's an opportunity for us to acknowledge him. And my prayer for each and every one of us this morning is that we'll be at peace with God in the mighty name of Jesus. And he says, if we are at peace with him, even our enemies will be at peace with us. So your enemies will be at peace with you in Jesus' name. Do we have questions? Do we have comments? Peace with God is the one that precedes, that comes before peace with men. It's very important. It's very, very important that we are at peace with God. Every other peace is false peace. Do we have comments? Questions? Okay. Please, can we just rise up? We've just talked about the peace offering. And I can tell you, that you too can be at peace with God today. If you look at Romans chapter 12 verse 1, God wants to be at peace with you and I. But he's saying that we have to present ourselves holy and acceptable unto him. You are going to pray to God this morning. Say, Father, I've come before you. I need a touch from you. Just touch my life today. I want to be at peace with you. Touch my life today. Every impurity in me, cleanse me of it in the mighty name of Jesus, because I want to be at peace with you. Lord, I want to be at peace with you. Let everything that is not of you be removed today in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to leave this place blessed. I want to leave this place restored. I want to leave this place repositioned. I want to leave this place re-energized. I want to leave this place reinvigorated. Touch me, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. One more prayer point. You are going to ask God to bless you today. That you have come, ask God to bless you. That you will not leave this place the same way you have come. That God will add value to your life. That the glory of God will come upon you. That the blessing of God will be your portion today. Ask God to meet with you as you come to meet with him this morning. Father, bless your people this morning. Show up here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning. As we have prayed earlier on this morning, we ask that everybody that will come to this auditorium, by the time they are leaving, if they have not been your friends before, they will become your friend in Jesus' name. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Jesus died for his friends. Lord Jesus, your death will not be wasted on any of us here today in Jesus' name. We will apprehend the grace that is in it to become who you want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.